Okay, so we're continuing in Chof Dalet Amal Sanhedrin. All right, so we're taking up the Ad Ramah. Okay, basically in this sugya, you have Tosfos and the Rush learn, and the Ad Ramah, they're all learning the same derech. And that is that what? That when Rav Dimi says Kigon de Kibli Aleg Bechad, that he accepted the puzzle or the Karov as a as one, that means one of three, right? That Rav Dimi was saying that's the case of the Machlokas. That's when the Rabbanan hold, you can't back out. But if you accepted this Karov Kibbeh Trey as three, right, as the whole panel, that would be Tarti L'Reusa. That would be two negatives. And then even the Rabbanan would agree that you can back out. Okay? So that's one way of learning. That's Tosfos, the Rush, and the Ad Ramah. And on the other side, you have Rashi and the Rambam, possibly the Rif, that learn that Rav Dimi was saying, basically on Rav Meir's side, without the Cheshbon, Rav Dimi was saying the Machlokas is absolute. In other words, they argue in all cases. They even argue when even Rav Meir would still agree that what? That you can back out even when there's only one, even when you're only accepting him as one. Whatever it is, you'll think through the Cheshbon yourself. But the point of the matter is, halachically speaking, according to Rashi, the Gemara is saying the Machlokas is in all cases, right? Regardless of whether you're accepting this Karov as one out of three or as the whole panel. whereas Tosos and the other group are learning the Machlokas is only when you accept him as one out of three. But if you accepted him as three, that's Tafas the Merubah already. That, then everybody would agree that you can back out, right? So we want to see if we can understand this Machlokas. So let's we had a basic start to the sugya 2 days ago, and that was from the Nemuki Yosef, just trying to understand the basic idea of what the sugya is all about, right? And because Nemuki Yosef raises a very important question, namely, why is it that when it comes to pshara, right, everybody agrees, we hold that you need to be mekabel a kinyan. You need to make a kinyan. And if you don't make a kinyan, and you just verbally say we want pshara, it's not binding. Okay. But over here, according to the Rabbanon, you don't need to make a kinyan. That was the Mukiyos' question. Was, what's the difference? Why do you need a kinyan by pshara? Because you're not doing din. So then, not doing din here either. What's the difference? If the rule is when you're not doing din, you need to make a kinyan, a firm, binding commitment, not just a verbal, verbal commitment. You need to make an actual physical act of commitment. And verbal is not enough. If the rule is by pshara that verbal is not enough to go outside of the shur satin, so how come verbal is enough here? According to Rav Meir. So Nemuki Yosef answered, right, this is what you missed the other day, Nemuki Yosef answered that there's a difference. That by the pshara, by our case, you're accepting something. You're accepting din. There's something that's there that you're accepting. Okay. So the guy, you'll say there's a smichas das. You'll say there's a smichas das on the idea on din. He says he knows exactly what he's getting into, and he says, "I'm accepting you. This karov, we're accepting this karov to do din." So that's good, because like we explained the other day, all the parameters are fixed right now. There's something definite right now that he can agree to. You have to have a valid act of agreeing to something. To have a valid act of acceptance in Kabbalah, there has to be a davar masuyim that you're mekabel. Right? If I say to you, accept these consequences, for instance, and I lay it out, then I'll say, okay, you accepted the consequences. But if I, but by pshara, so therefore, in other words, really, Mukesh is saying that you don't need a maisa kinyan when there is, in fact, a definite and definable and clear entity that you're able to accept right now. The problem with the smachta is it's undefined. It's completely undefined. It's willy-nilly in the judge's mind. Whatever they think is good. So there's nothing, there's no process, there's no cheft, there's no entity to accept. Okay? So then it's just binding yourself to a future commitment. But the future commitment doesn't exist. It doesn't exist now. It's like a davar shelo bo le'olam. So you can't make that verbal commitment because there's nothing to accept. The point I'm trying to make is you need something present to say, I accept that, zeh, this is what I'm accepting. So by the din, with the karov, it's there. But by the pshara, there's nothing definite that I can say I'm accepting. I don't know how he's thinking things through, I don't know what process is going on in his mind. There's no definitive thing. It's too open-ended. It has no gvul. That's like everybody agrees with, everybody understands that on a basic level. And you go to do something dangerous, they tell you, here are the risks. This. They give you a whole list of risks. And they say, okay, now you accepted the risk. If they just would tell you it's dangerous, it wouldn't hold up in court. Right? I had no idea it was that dangerous. So in order to accept, of course they're going to make you sign it too, but in order to accept something, the actual Kabbalah, you have to look, what I'm trying to show you is you got to break it down to the first step of the definition, at least, is to show the Muki Yosef is explaining that there's an idea of an actual action of Kabbalah. But that requires a davar mesuyam. Without that, if it's open-ended and it's vague, you're lacking in your actual Kabbalah. So by the case of din, there's something to be mekabel. It's clear. That's the parameters of din. I know what din is, and it's his application of it. I know who he is. So therefore, you don't need the kinyan. But by pshara, there's nothing to talk about. There's no davar masuyam to have an action of Kabbalah. So now to accept the future thing as an outcome, so then you need an actual, like Gil said, you need either a davar masuyam that you're accepting right now, or you need a concrete maisa to represent the future outcome. It has to be something present, it has to be something now. Okay? Okay, that's a good start. You have a big sugya like that. There's a big sugya on a similar topic, and that is by mechila. Because in general, we say mechila doesn't need a kinyan. Right? To be mochel something, you don't need a kinyan. Question is, what about a mechila that you don't know exactly how much you're being mochel? That's a big, big sugya. So the case would be like if, let's say, we say that you're not allowed to overcharge somebody, right? So let's say I tell the guy, look, I'm overcharging you. Are you okay with that? So he could be mochel. What if he doesn't? Huh? Whatever. So, one second, but what if he doesn't know how much he's being overcharged? Does that constitute a good mechila? Okay, so, so with that in mind, let's try to go forward into the, so let's take a look at the Nimuk Yosef. Okay, you guys got a good workout on the Nimuk Yosef? I mean the Yad Ramah.
Oh, yeah.
Got a good workout on the Yad Ramah? I only underline. You got the underline? You got the one with the underlines? Yeah. Otherwise, it would be just sending you into a... Because he's referring to sugyas that you're not familiar with. You can't do it. It's not possible unless you know the sugyas well. Okay, so good. So what's his point? Someone read a little? I mean, he lays out his sheet in the beginning, but then he goes into an interesting question in the end, right? So his sheet is that what? Tactically, that they're only arguing on one level of psul. Right? They're only arguing when there's one psul. But if there are two psulim, if it's tartili reyusa, then even the rabbanon would agree that they can back out. Okay. All right, so what is it? So the Mukia says that when we say two psulim is not a kabbalah, that's only when. Right. No, it's only, he says, when we say that two psulim are not a good kabbalah, that's when, by accepting these two psulim, you're losing in two ways.
Right.
Right. In two ways. Right. You're losing. It means that it's to your detriment in two ways. You're giving up on something. I don't remember exactly what lesson you said, but you're with the kabbalah, you're giving up on something in two different ways.
Go ahead. That's
right. So he says it would be, he's learning pshat that's talking about Adam, not Diana, but it doesn't matter. Adam would mean to say that I'll accept your father's testimony for your case, whatever. But he says, what would be two psulim and true and in two ways? It would be if I would say, I'll accept your father as two Adam. That would be two ways. Because now you're combining, you're being marked of two different things. You're riding on two horses.
How so?
Continue.
And master led apostle.
So first of all, the problem is you're validating apostle. Because your father's not good for testimony for this case. So you're validating someone as apostle. And not only that, taking this apostle as the whole entity of Adas. Accepting him as two. Right? So you're taking the wrong guy, and you're accepting the wrong guy in the wrong way. Right? In other words, in order to be an aid, in order for Adas to be good, it has to be two ksherim. So you're taking one apostle, and you're accepting him as for the whole Adas. So you're substituting the two qualities that we started out with completely. Two qualities were the two things that we needed were two, the quantity, and a certain kind of a guy. So by taking one Karov as the full body of Adas, you're replacing both of the requirements of Adas. So he's riding on the two horses. He's riding on the gavra, on the quality horse and the quantity horse, right? Of psul. Go ahead. Then we say he's not gomer amar. Everything's always gotten back to that. Everything always comes back to that. That's what's hard about these figures. Just like, sounds like everything just comes back. Was he going mocking? Was not going mocking? Sounds like guessing his psychology. Go ahead. Right. But what if I take a guy who's a relative and he's also a ganav? Right? Let's say I take a guy who's a relative and also a ganav. Hold on. So how many psulim is that? It's two.
Two things, but in the same
category. Two things, but in the same category. So that's what he's trying to say. He's saying, when we say two psulim together, it knocks you out of the box. You're not a gomer machni on two psulim. It doesn't just mean any two psulim that are combined. It doesn't mean if I combine a relative who's a ganaf, right? Yeah, because that's in one horse. That's just a faster horse you got. It's just a better horse, right? It's got to be on two things. It's got to be the guy, a psul in the guy, and I'm accepting him to a greater quantity than he deserves, right? But if I just take an extra psul, I lump many psulim into one guy, that's all considered one. Go ahead. Because these psulim don't disqualify him any more than if it was one. Right. There's no difference between saying a guy is posel because he's a karov but a kusher, or a rachuk and a posel. There's no difference between those two. So if you combine them, you haven't done anything. It's not a different way. You're not combining two ways of psul. It's just a question of, are you kusher for edus? So you could be posel for edus either because you're a karov or because you're a posel. It's just two of the same ways to the same thing of saying that you're not posel, that you're not a kusher edus. So it doesn't matter if you make a guy, if a guy is not a kusher edus because he's a karov and a posel, or because he's a karov or because he's a posel. You buying a gil?
Absolutely.
Right. Because the guy is now a karav and a posel, it's no difference. It's just like one posel. One psul, yeah, go ahead. Right. In other words, we want to know, is this guy's gemiras das good? Right? Does he have a full gemiras das over here or not? So he's saying, what's the gemiras das? What's the difference if he's gomer or machni? If we say he's a gomer or machni on a karov who's a kasher, or a posel who's a rachuk, that basically means to say it's a gemir stas on an aid that's not kasher. So what's the difference if he's not kasher because he's a karov and a posel? It makes no difference. No difference. But, does he have the but?
After that?
No. But if I take a guy, if I accept a guy who's a posel or a karov and a posel, and I accept him as two edim or as three dayanim in our case, that's accepting two kinds of psul. Understand? That's already a different kind of a Kabbalah. Yeah, so what's the svara? He has to be mafsid anafshe mitre ante in order to say he's not a gomer or machni. Oh, hey, this is the part. I didn't underline this part. He says, "Ubechi ha amrinan, delo gomer or machni." That's just after the part of the horseback riding guy. To call markiv le lepsul atre rachshi, chada the machshul le lepsul. First of all, he's validating a puzzle. Vesu the Makabale Kitre, right? And he's accepting this puzzle as two. Ubechi hamri and lo gomer machni. Aval hechad lo masik le lipsul elachad darga. Do you have that part?
What does that mean?
Did I underline that part easy?
Yeah.
But when he accepts upon himself, I lost the spot, sorry. Heichad lo masik le lepsul elachad darga, when he only accepts a psul of one darga. What's a darga?
A level.
Kigon karov, v'hu pasul. He's a karov or an apostle, who cares? That's all one level, right? V'kiblu alov be'ed echad. Kevan da'ani tre psuli lo pasile ater vayu. Are you read this? I'm sorry.
B'haisa dusa filu be'ed echad. V'ashtanami tu avikar v'pasal lo pasal l'milsa yisera. So in other words, that's all one psal. That's all one level of psal. Or if he was a rachok, right. But if it was two dargos, meaning what? If it was the wrong guy and kibay trey, that would be a problem. So it's like a. So that's the way he's learning. You can only have a psul of one dargo, one step. But a psul of two steps is already lo gomar makni.
So if you were gomar makni just for one psul, it would be fine?
That's right. So you could either be gomar makni to accept a psul as one, along with the others, or as a kush, or accept a kusher as two. That would be no difference then. The Rush also says, "V'lo mi boy heichad the kabul ale karov the royal heid b'machom acher, dein yochal lachsevo." Certainly, if you accept a karov who's really kosher in other places, you can't back out. Elafilu ikabul le pasul, dein royal heid b'machom acher, ein yochal lachsevo. Because it says karov al pasul, so it doesn't matter. That's the way the according to everybody. In other words, there's no difference between accepting a karov or a pasul. I mean, he's not combining the two. Right, I'm sorry, he's not combining the two. He's just saying there's nothing between a karov who's kasher elsewhere and an apostle who's apostle everywhere else. Right, he's not like the Gadramo. He's not saying that way. He's not saying it's karov and he's not taking the case of karov and apostle. But anyway, so what's the idea here? So what's interesting also is that the Rush in Bava Metzia has a very interesting ha'ara, right? A very interesting note over there. And he's bothered by this question also of why we say, for instance, in certain cases that you need a kinyan, and over here we say you don't need a kinyan, right? So what's the reasoning he gives over there? He says, because in our case, it's not two strangers just meeting and deciding to do something, right? Two strangers just met and wanted to agree to something, they would need a kinyan, right? Over here, there's an important history. They both have claims. There are claims against each other, right? And he says they already have tevios, and they're makabel, and they're being makabel din. Right, they already have tevios and they're being makabled in. So what's the nature of his answer? What is he trying? How is he explaining it? I think if we define that rush, well, you'll see. I think what's going on over here. And I'm saying the rush is svara. Rush holds tarti l'reusa is also no good. The rush is also the same shita that if it was two dargos, it would be. It would not be a good Kabbalah. So what's the factor that the Rush is pointing? Rush is pointing to two factors. There are tevios between them, and they're being makabel a din. The Tosus also has a Rush. You know, it's a little more explicit. They're being makabel the din like this. You know, it's with the karov or the puzzle. Yeah, so what's the key factor, though? What's the fact that there's tevios between them? What does that have to do with anything? Why does that make them different than strangers who meet and decide to do something? Now, what's the key? What's the key factor? Keep the Mugi Yosef in mind. What's the key factor that the Rush is pointing to? Saying there needs to be a present reality between them. There has to be a reality. There has to be an existence. There is in existence between these two people the reality of din. Okay? Once I'm Toveya, once we agree that there are tevios between us, so then there exists already an entity of din between us. Two strangers on the street meet. There's nothing between them. There's no reality between them. They want to forge some new reality. They want to forge some relationship, starting from scratch. That's they need a kinyan. But the Rosh is saying over here, there already exists upon these two people. they already exist vis-a-vis each other in the framework of din, because that's what tviyos are. Tviyos is saying that there's a din between us. So he's saying, therefore, as long as what they're accepting has an element of din itself, then verbal is enough. In other words, I would say like this, that the Muki Yosef and the machlokas between the Rush and the other Shitos really comes down to this question. That was, if there's a difference between two dargas or not, right? Is there a difference between two dargas or not? So what's the, can we define it? Can we define it a little bit better? Definitively, forget about how you want to define the machlokas, but just the thing itself. What's the difference if it's two dargas of psul or one darga of psul? What's the difference? Just in the thing itself, are they different? No, it's like Nemukia, like the Yarama says, there's no difference if the guy is a Karov apostle or a Karov an apostle. He's saying there's no difference between this thing. There's no halachic difference. There's no conceptual differentiation between a Karov apostle or a Karov apostle. But there is a conceptual differentiation between a Karov as one out of three or a Karov as three. So what's that? What exactly is that? How is that the definitive difference between one darga of psul and two dargas of psul? Yeah. So let's understand a little better. No, as if the guy is a karov, like we were saying before, Beis Din has a certain structure of the number of people on the panel and the qualifications of the people on the panel. It's like the Beis Din itself, right? So the Yad Rama is saying, if you have the right form, if you have an element, like Yonah says, of Beis Din, then it's good. So what does it mean, an element? It means to say there's a certain form and the substance of Beis Din.
What are you calling substance?
So when I say the substance is the type of people. Right, and the form is how many? Let's say, maybe it's arbitrary terms, but yeah. So if I have the substance or the form of Beis Din, I still have an element of Beis Din. So if I have three separate guys who are Krov or Psulim, so I still have a certain form of Beis Din. If you look at it as the form of a Beis Din, as the appearance, as that form of. In terms of the number. And if I have a kasher, but he's sitting as one, I still have the substance of a base. I have a kasher dayan, right? So, but he's saying, but if I don't have the form or the substance, then I'm out of the system already. Then I'm out of the system. Okay.
But what does it matter if you have a rent? Because then you call it like a davar mesuyim or something?
No, this is not the davar mesuyim, sorry. This is a different svar. No, that's really is the main machlokas between the way I'm learning is the main machlokas between the Rashi and Tosos is what do you need for the Kabbalah? As according to Rashi, I would say I know I'm using the Nemuki Yosef and the Nemuki Yosef whatever might learn like the Yarma, but I'm using his idea. His idea is like this: that Rashi holds what do you need for the Kabbalah? All you need for the Kabbalah to be good is for there to be something that I can point to. Something I can quantify and say, this I accept.
The process, right?
Something that I can put. So the process, that's right. So as long as I have the process of din, and I have the known decider, I can say, I accept this. This is what I accept.
In other words, you just have to have the davar masuyam. You just have to have the action of Kabbalah is all you need. Okay.
Nobody's saying like just like the quality in terms of like who it is or how many they are is good enough, right? Because then you could like what's then why would you have killed by a shara?
Who it is. No one's saying it once again, right? So that's different from the Mukhi Yosef's explanation is different from the Yad Ramah, because the Yad Ramah says, even though it's din, but if it's a karov and I'm accepting him as three, it's still no good. But that doesn't seem to be a lack in the Davar Mesuyam element. It still is Davar Mesuyam. I still know exactly what I'm signing up for.
Yeah, so right. The Yad Ramah still has the process? He still has the...
Yeah. He says, even though it's the process of din, but it's two dargas removed from the pure form of Beis Din, because I'm taking a karov as the only guy, then I'm not gomer makni. So I'm trying to use the Rush's idea. I'm saying that that Namuki Yosef, the way Rashi's learning and the Rambam is all you need is a davar mesuyam. You just need to be able to wrap your mind around it, so to speak, and say, this I accept. But the Muki Yosef, the Yad Ramah and the Rush and the Tosfos are learning differently. They say that the Kabbalah only exists because you're already under the force of Din. In other words, we're not in the case of where I'm starting a Kabbalah from scratch. That's what the Rush is trying to explain. If two people meet, they have no shaykhus to each other. They're under no obligation to each other. There's no reality that's mutual between them. Okay? There's no force that's binding them to act together in any way. So to just say, let's do something, that's Dvarm Shel Mavikach. Right? It's just Dvarm Shel Mavikach. Right. It's things of no consequence. Mabikach means there's no consequence. What's in this? It's just Dvarm Shel Mabikach. Because there's nothing between them to begin with. It's just like pure hypotheticals. So then, to go from the hypothetical to the real, you need an action. You need a kinyan. You need a maisa. Right. But the Rush is saying that's not what's happening over here. There already exists between them a reality of din. They already are forced together. In a certain sense, there's no need for a Kabbalah here. Because they already have a certain binding, something is already binding them together. The reality of Tvius already binds them to act in a certain way. And as long as they're expressing the desire to accept what is already between them, albeit in a modified way, that's enough for the Kabbalah to be chal. That's enough. In other words, they have to be saying like this, we already have this reality, and this is how we want it to go. Okay? But what's the reality between them is din. As long as it still has an element, and not din as a process, din as a halachic reality. And din as a halachic reality requires three kasher edim. So as long as it can be said, dayan. So as long as it can be said that what they're doing represents a modification of what is between them, no Kabbalah is required. But two steps away already from what is between them is like they're saying, let's do our own thing. That's like pshar already. In other words, the difference between the way that Tosfos is learning and the Rashi is learning, I know I keep picking different people, but Tosfos and Rashi, that's right on the daf. The difference between Rashi and Tosfos is what do you need for the Kabbalah? According to Rashi, really, you can voluntarily do anything you want. You can voluntarily do it. The only thing is, it has to be a davar mesuyam that you're signing up for.
That's like the Nimukkha Yosef?
That's like the Nimukkha Yosef. But Tosis, the Rush is learning, the Rush is explaining, and the Tosis is learning also, that you can't, it's not like something you can just do on your own. There has to already be in existence the force of that's binding you. The only thing you can do on your own is you can sort of channel it. You can say, this din that's pressing on both of us, let's accept it like this. Okay? But if I do pshara, which is not din at all, or if I change what the constitution of our body is that's going to decide and it doesn't have a resemblance to din anymore, then it's too far. Then it's like we're deciding on our own to do something new. That we can't do. That we can't do. I would agree with Yonah, though. I would just say one extra thing. I'd say even according to Rashi, they're not strangers on the street. But it's because they have tvios. I think Rashi would agree. Strangers on the street can't just decide to do anything they want, even if it's a davar mesuyam. This whole thing definitely comes about because there's a need for a resolution of something that's real. Okay, so in other words, they have tvius between them and they want a resolution. According to Rashi, as long as there's a real need and they can point to something that's mesuyam, then we can say they're gomer omakni. Because there's a result that they want and they're deciding on something that we can define, so we say they've accepted it. According to the Rush, the need is not enough. It still is voluntary. It has to really still come through the force of the din that's already between them. I'll think about that element a little bit more. But essentially, that's what I'm trying to explain. The Rush is learning a modification of what exists already. And Rashi's really saying, no, you can do it on your own. You can completely do it on your own. The only problem is it has to be definitive. Now, as the Rush is looking at the resemblance to din, either by the body that you're sitting in front of, is it the body of din, or the process, okay? It has to resemble both of them. It has to be a resemblance. Din as a package requires two things. It requires a certain process, and it requires a certain body that you're sitting in front of. So pshara, if you say pshara, then you're outside of din automatically. But if I change the composition, but that's because pshara and din is a binary. Either in it or you're not in it, right? But by the panel that I sit in front of, there are two qualifications. There's a qualification of number and there's a qualification of type of people. So I can resemble the body. You can't resemble din. You can resemble the body, the basin. So as long as, you know, the thing is like this. It does come down to Gemiras Das, but the point is this is what I'm trying to accomplish over here is how to define things that sound like they're just, down to questions of psychology, right? So I'm saying that what the Yad Ramah is explaining and the Rush and the Tosos is that we will consider it Gemiras Das as long as we can interpret it as an expression of what already exists between them. When can we interpret it as an expression of what already exists between them? When it has an element of what already exists between them. Since the Beis Din has two elements, the number of people and the types of people, right? As long as it has one of them, we can say now, Gomer Omakni. We never know what the person is really feeling in his heart. But halachically, we can determine the question that we have to ask is, did they go forward with what was already between them? In other words, did they express that which didn't need a Kabbalah in the first place? They say, let's do it, let's do it this way. There has to be tvios, has to be an it, and the Rush says, and they're makabal din, and they have to say, we're doing it our way. But if there are no tvios, Or if they're not makabel din, then there's nothing. Then they're on their own. Then I can't say that what they're doing is an expression of what's between them already.
Rashi
is much more liberal. Rashi says that you can really do something on your own. That's really the machlokas between Rashi and the Rush. The Rush is saying you can never create a new obligation. You have to be continuing an obligation that exists. So the only way to continue an obligation that exists is for there to be an obligation, and for you to be embracing it in your way. Obviously, if you just do din, then there's no Kabbalah needed at all. So it has to be something changed, otherwise you wouldn't have any inyan of Kabbalah. But there has to be a din existing, and you have to be doing the din in your way. So there still has to be related to din. But according to Rashi, as long as we can say objectively you both need something, you can construct your own Kabbalah. You can be makabel your own thing. Okay, but so then you're all thinking, so why can't I do pshara? Because there has to be something to accept that's definitive. Because according to the Rush, the problem is in the initiation. And according to Rush, the problem is in quantifying it. Not in the initiation, it's in quantifying it. It's in the Maisa of the Kabbalah. According to the Rush, the problem is essentially a front-loaded problem. You have to get started, right? And according to Rashi, the problem is really in the back end of the problem. You have to be able to grab onto something with your Kabbalah. If it's pshara, there's nothing to grab onto. Okay, whether it's right or not, it's just it's very important in terms of methodology how to try to work with these types of problems. Okay. Oh, so we haven't touched Rameir, right? Rameir just says no every time. The reason we haven't done Rameir yet, because the Gemara really goes into different possibilities of what Rameir holds. Right now, we don't really know what Rameir holds. Could be 100 reasons why he says it doesn't work. So we'll wait for the Gemara, we'll just get into some very interesting possibilities.